This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. It is hotter than balls out today. It's, what is it, like 80 degrees?
Yeah.
And additionally, I decided to wear Doc Marten boots for the first time on the first day of summer.
Poor choice.
I'm dying.
Those are your summer solstice boots?
Summer solstice.
Today is summer solstice.
What does that mean? It's just the first day of summer?
Yeah. The sun's the highest in the sky today.
Is that why it's so hot?
It stays, it's going to stay dark, light out.
For like how long?
And then tomorrow it just gets, starts to get darker earlier and earlier and earlier. That's how it works.
What are you, a meteorologist?
Yes.
Scientist. All right, this is Neil a very DeGrasse. Familiar voice. He's done my podcast many times. It is the adorable and obnoxious Christian Majeski.
Thanks.
Well, you know, you are adorable and obnoxious.
It's true.
It's a great combo.
It's good qualities.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed you at a certain point. Okay. So before we get into the podcast, so this is going to be a very vulnerable podcast. I'm finally going to say like why I was on a tad bit of a hiatus, except for you guys didn't even know I was on a hiatus because I faked it. What? But before I get into that, I am going to tell you some show dates so you guys can hopefully check out some shows. So June 27th, I don't think this is like a live show, but June 27th in the morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on K-Earth 101, I will be doing stand-up with a bunch of other comedians at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood to raise money for Bob Hope USO charity. I'm really excited about it. I mean, anything for our troops. Like, I love doing the USO tours for them, and I'm excited about raising money. So tune in to K-Earth 101. Around 7 a.m. or whatever, 6 a.m. on June 27th. July 3rd, I will be at the Hollywood Improv doing my friend Rye Dune's show, High Society. I don't know what that means. I don't smoke pot. I hope that's not a requirement. And then July 28th, I am doing Hollywood Improv again. It's the Story Smash show, which is like improvised stories. And actually, this show's getting huge because Larry King is one of the judges this week.
Cool.
Crazy. Or he's telling stories, and he's probably one of the judges.
Oh, Larry.
I don't think he's like, competing with peasants like me.
He might bring bagels from his Brooklyn Water bagel place.
Does he have a bagel place?
Yeah. You ever been?
No. Where's it at?
On Beverly Hills, it's called.
Why don't you take me to these places?
Brooklyn Water Bagels.
I want to go there now.
It's not that good. So, what? Sorry, Larry. Can't
well,
really,
you're not eating bagels right now because you're on a diet.
I am. I'm no carbs.
Ugh, that's impressive. I eat Mexican food for breakfast.
That's
I'm disgusting.
That's impressive.
And then for lunch, I ate a cheese plate.
Oh. So did I take it to the hospital?
And I don't know why. I was complaining all day why my stomach hurt. Now that I'm saying it out loud, I realize why.
You're backed up.
No. I don't have that problem. It's just my stomach hurts.
Get some Pepto.
Do you have some?
Do people still use that stuff?
I don't know.
Pepto-Bismol?
Do you have some?
No.
Is this why we don't date anymore? Because I talk about really unattractive things like this?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Oh. Whatever. but we're friends.
Good friends. Buddies. Chiefs.
We're chiefs.
Two chiefs.
Eh, you never know. Maybe one day. We'll circle back. Who knows? Relationships are hard, and that's kind of something we're going to talk about on this podcast. But I'm going to finish giving my show dates because It's about me. So then in August, I am in Europe for most of the month. I land in Paris on August 9th. I'm not even doing stand-up there. I'm just going to have a Parisian vacay by myself, which is kind of cool and ballsy.
Au revoir.
Yeah, I'm excited. I got this. I got the most Parisian-looking Airbnb. You have to see it.
Most Parisian-looking Airbnb?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have like a little fireplace. There's like these cool lights.
So you're not staying with your uncle?
Well, I emailed him. He hasn't emailed me back yet.
Sounds like you're, yeah. It sounds like you're really going on this trip alone.
Oh, I 100% am. This is going to be a great journey for me.
Oh, I think.
Listen, if you were still my boyfriend, maybe you'd come, but you're not. So suck it.
Paris.
Paris.
In the summer. Beautiful time to go. Huh?
I've never been in the summer.
Spring.
I've been spring's in spring. I've been in April, and then I've been in October, but not August. It's probably going to be hotter than hell, huh?
What's the over-under on cheese plates that you're going to have?
Oh, that's all I'm going to eat. Yeah. Red wine, cheese plates. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to walk everywhere. I'm going to bring my tripod, just take photos of myself at locations. Maybe I'll meet some friends.
Tripod?
Yeah.
Selfie stick?
Both. I'm not above either of those things. And I think I'm going to Rosetta Stones and try to learn a little more French.
All right. You should get Google Translate.
No, I want to learn. I want to learn to speak it properly.
Okay.
You know what?
Maybe
you're probably going to be like super into me when I come
maybe
back
we should
from Paris because
this.
I'm going to learn how to speak French. I'll be very tan. I'll be very thin because I'll be walking everywhere. You're going to be like, shouldn't have let her go.
That's not. No, my God. Okay, let's move on.
I love making him uncomfortable. It's so much fun. What else was I going to say? Okay, so, a few more dates. So, and then August 13th, I will be in Dublin doing comedy at a place called the Comedy Crunch. And I'm staying in this cool hotel that's near a castle. And then for the rest of the month, I'm in Scotland. Is it Edinburgh or Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
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 Edinburgh. Yeah.
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Welcome to Edinburgh. Edinburgh.
Okay, I feel like that's not right.
Edinburgh. I've been to
how embarrassing
Fringe.
If I went there and I was
Fringe
like,
is great.
Edinburgh.
People should go to Fringe.
Yeah, go
everyone.
To guys, come. I'm going to be staying in
fly
this
there.
Airbnb with a bunch of comedians and
you could even stay at the Airbnb if Rachel's cool enough.
Yeah, I mean,
she might let you stay with
you never
stay.
Know. Listen, I'm going to have been alone for several weeks in Europe. Maybe I'm going to
invite
some
friends.
People
in. Bring some people to that Airbnb.
You never know.
Other comedians be like, who the hell is this person in our kitchen?
I'm going to be like, I don't know. It's my new friend.
Where are you from? Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Just flew in.
You said you still might come.
Edinburgh.
Does Ireland? Do you think you're going to come?
I don't know. Ireland would be cool. In August, I'm going to be in the south again.
Greenville.
I might. Yeah, maybe.
Well,
I don't know.
I have a hotel and I can make sure we have two beds.
I'll get my own hotel. Thank you.
Why would you not split one?
I'm kidding.
Shut up.
Yeah, that could be fun. But yeah, the
you've been to the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, the Fringe
Festival.
Tell
me about it. What can I expect?
There's a lot of good talent there. There's a lot of it's interesting. There's a lot of plays and just you have to kind of plan it out.
Yeah.
You know, like. Like,
I wish I would
figure
have
out what
it
you're
going to
see beforehand, because if you go and see the wrong thing, you might, you know. I actually saw this really great show when I was there. This guy, he calls himself the boy with tape on his mouth.
Into it.
And he performs the whole show with tape on his mouth. And then he just kind of improvises this whole thing. So he doesn't speak at all, but he
That's
does
cool.
like this whole comedy routine. It's really funny.
Do you ever wish
it's
you could put tape
really
on my mouth?
Really talented. Yes. But you're running a podcast here, so it's, you know, what am I going to do, talk to myself?
Yeah, you're pretty good at it. Sometimes
true.
I can't get you to
I'm
shut
pretty,
up.
I'm pretty good
Christian
at it.
You give Christian a very strong cup of coffee? Holy shit.
I know. I don't know. I've drank two cups today, and I'm really tired. Is it just
I
the weather?
It's the weather. It's just really hot and muggy and aggressive.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I usually drink 9 cups of coffee, though. I've just been cutting it out.
Nine?
I think
Are you being serious?
Somewhere along those lines, I sometimes push
and
the limits.
And your heart doesn't stop?
Probably has a couple times.
What the?
My pituitary gland is shrunk down to a nothing.
I would be a psych. What is your pituitary gland?
I don't even know.
It sounds like something near your penis.
No, it's. I think it's up in your neck. I think what happens if you drink too much,
shows
your
what
adrenals,
I know.
Coffee will fire your adrenals or something like that, or deplete your adrenals, and it shrinks your pituitary gland if you drink too much coffee, apparently.
It's a pituitary gland.
Who cares?
What's it for?
Who knows? I mean, well, I'm still here.
I mean, you threw it out there like you knew what it was.
I'm still here.
Yeah, you're doing good.
It's a gland. That's all I know. as
and you've lost weight on this diet of sorts.
Yeah, I'm trying this thing called intermittent fasting.
Yeah, he doesn't like to eat until noon. This morning I was like, do you want to go get breakfast? And he was like, I don't eat until noon. I'm like, what are you, Kate
Well,
Moss?
I tried this other thing. Yes, I'm working on my summer body.
Oh, my God.
But I tried this thing where you do, it's called the 5-2 diet. And
what's
you,
that?
You basically, you eat 600 calories 2 days a week.
I eat 600 calories for breakfast.
You eat 600 calories as a snack.
I'm disgusting.
But you look great. You don't look like you eat like you do.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
That's not true. So 600 calories twice a week. So say like Tuesday and Thursday mm-hmm. are your days to eat 600 calories. And then the other days you just eat what you would normally eat, but you know, you kind of eat healthy, but it's...
Yeah,
but you
eating,
could eat.
I just opened up his fridge. It's like everything's sprouted and probiotic, and he's made his own bread the other day.
It's a whole science experiment in here.
He's like Amish now.
Yeah, I'm churning butter in my bedroom.
By the way, speaking of how disgusting I am, so this is what I had for breakfast on my Instagram story. I had a fish taco, a chicken taco, and a vegetarian taco, which was just beans and lettuce and cheese. And then I had a basket of chips, guacamole, and sour cream. Whoa. And that was breakfast.
Are you Hulk Hogan?
I'm disgusting. And my friend Loey, who's done my podcast before, wrote, he's Australian, so I'm trying to do it in his Australian accent. Wait, how do I do an Australian accent?
Bloody mate. I don't know. I can't do any accent.
But anyways, he goes, I like how you're so pretty on the outside and a fucking nightmare for your colon on the inside.
That's pretty funny.
It's so accurate. All right. So let's get into this podcast. All right. Full confession. Do I tell people what I did for the last 2 weeks?
Sure. I don't know. What is it?
Well, it's important to talk about. No, it's important to talk about because everyone needs a break. So I decided to do a little self-care and I spent 2 weeks at this beautiful adult summer camp in Malibu. No, it wasn't rehab. By the way, I realized I am a dork. If I ever thought like, hey, Rachel, you like to drink. No, I've been a dork my whole life. I didn't realize I'm like a narc.
Yeah.
No. Did I tell you that Sabrina, what she said?
Total narc. What'd you say?
The only time I smoked pot in high school, I freaked out and I dialed operator and what I was, or 911, I forgot what it was. So I could tell all of our parents, my plan was to tell all of our parents what we'd done.
You narked on your friends and
no school. They grabbed the phone from me.
You had a panic attack.
Yeah, I don't like
pot.
Drugs.
Right. Well, you're just smoking probably the wrong type of pot. But
I'm not. Whatever. Listen, well, I mean, look. Their own.
Yeah, I mean, I was the same. Sativa was the type of weed that it kind of gets you. It gives some people panic attacks or it triggers something in your brain that
no
kind of stresses you out a little bit, but. I can smoke indica, but I can't smoke sativa. I've always had a problem with smoking sativa.
I prefer to smoke.
When I smoke indica, I can.
Well, I also don't like smoke. It like hurts my lungs.
Yeah, so you should, you know, I mean, CBD is the way to go now.
Yeah, I got to get more of that. Anyways, so, but it's not my fault that I'm a dork. My mom has like sheltered me my whole life. And by the way, she also, she didn't hold me, wait, she held me back. No, I wasn't even allowed to go to preschool. I think I was pulled out of preschool because like I think some kid peed in the sandbox and she was like, no, Rachel's not doing that. So I've basically just been a sheltered child my whole life.
This kid was you, wasn't it?
Probably. No, I wouldn't have peed in the sandbox. I've got manners. Anyways, so I went to this beautiful adult summer camp in Malibu. Some people were there for drug and alcohol stuff. Some people were there to take a break. Some people were there to just mm-hmm. learn various therapy and meditation techniques. Some people were there for like family system problems or trauma or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what I was there for, except for I just wanted a vacay. But
a very expensive vacation in Malibu.
Insurance paid for it.
Oh, okay. So why were you there?
But I learned.
There's a reason for you going there, obviously, right?
Yes. Well, my mom, my parents thought I've experienced a lot of trauma in my mm-hmm. life.
Right.
And they think that I needed to, I don't know, they wanted me to like go and learn like therapy and meditation techniques. Little do my parents know, I've been going to like therapy and like dealing with this stuff for the last 10 years since I've lived in LA. My parents, on the other hand, have never even seen a therapist until recently. And like the stuff that's happened to Mike O'Brien, my dad, in his life, holy crap. I don't know how he never saw a therapist before. So we just kind of went as like a, we're just doing a little family thing. Anyways.
So family therapy.
Yeah. Well, but not in a bad way. I have the greatest family
based
in the world.
Trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But guess what?
What?
I like meditation. Remember how I used to make fun of you all the time?
Yeah. Meditation's great. I think everybody should meditate.
Shit.
Meditation's like the ultimate therapy.
It's amazing.
It's free. You don't need to go to anybody to do it. You just trust yourself.
I did
yourself.
It this morning even. I did like a guided meditation with my Spotify. And
who was it? Billy Idol?
No, but that would have been
Idol,
cool.
Billy Idol.
Can you imagine how intense that would be?
Yeah.
What a rebel, yeah.
Seriously. That was like the most aggressive. I thought I would probably like it. Speaking of self-care, I just got the coolest new sponsor and I want you guys to get involved. It is Knipe Bath and Body Care. Knipe is a plant-based solution to self-care. They've been using nature's expert for 125 years, creating plant-based vegan bath and body products. I seriously somehow pulled, remember I called you and I was like, I pulled a muscle in my back sleeping. I don't know how I did it.
Is this the stuff you were using?
Yes.
Oh.
They have, okay. So the thing I was using on my back was this Arnica joint and muscle stuff. It instantly like loosened up the part of my back. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you some. Or you can use my promo code.
Yeah. Give me that promo code.
I'm just like super into all the essential oils and like natural body care stuff. Like it's amazing. And it's cruelty-free, paraben-free. There's no preservatives, paraffins, silicones, or mineral oils.
That's amazing.
I know.
Vegan.
They were actually awarded the Green Brand Seal for the third time in 2017. And this award only goes to brands that use environmentally sound practices through production and are strongly committed to preservation and sustainability.
I like it. I'm into it.
I know. I am too. And I have an offer for you guys. For 15% off your first order, you go to Knipe.com. That's Kneipp.com and use promo code BEHERE at checkout. That's Kneipp.com and use promo code BEHERE at checkout. You're going to smell lovely. Your skin's going to be soft. Your boyfriend's going to be into it.
Soft skin.
Yeah.
Ladies and men.
Another part of self-care that I've been super into is Flex. It's a life-changing new product that completely replaces tampons, pads, and menstrual cups and gives you the most comfortable period of your life.
I know nothing about
having
a comfortable or uncomfortable period, but
let me explain it to you. Flex can be worn for 12 hours. It's easy to change on the go and allows you to live like you're not on your period. I could run a marathon. I can go swimming in that pool out there. I could have period sex without the mess.
Whoa.
Yeah, well, that's...
I mean, I could tell you about hangovers, but that's about it. I mean, and I haven't had a hangover and I haven't drank in 30 days, so...
It's period pain, but whatever. Christian, that's not the same thing as period pain. But these are seriously, like, they're helping with, like, cramping and bloating. Flex was designed to change your period and your life. It's not a tampon or a cup. It's a flexible disc that fits perfectly inside your body. And once it's in place, you can't feel it at all. It's the only internally worn period product not linked to toxic shock syndrome, which is very dangerous. And I have an offer for my listeners so you guys can have comfortable, not messy periods. And
mess-free
period sex if you want. Live your life, girls. So have the most comfortable period of your life. If you go to IHateTampons.com now and use promo code BEHERE to get an additional 30% off your first purchase, that's promo code BEHERE at IHateTampons.com for 30% off Flex. IHateTampons.com.
Save the sheets.
But I learned, okay, so I also want to talk about some other really cool stuff I learned there. So I'm going to give you guys all a little bit of free therapy right now.
You're just going to give this away?
Yeah.
Just give out your Venmo just in case. Might make a couple
should
bucks.
I
no
oh well I'm gonna start doing this thing called Cameo where you make videos and people ask you for like, hey, I want a birthday shout out, will you make a video for it? And they give you like $15 to make a video. Or I'm gonna start doing that, guys. So it's cameo.com/ I think Rachel O'Brien. I don't know, I just made it. I'll put that in the podcast notes. Anyways,
Cameo.
So do you want, okay, besides the fact that I watched a bunch of movies that I hadn't seen before, and I have some opinions on those, like what? Old movies.
Like what?
First of all, Gone with the Wind, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Way too indulgent.
the one of the worst movies you've ever seen.
It's just obnoxious.
Gone Wind?
Ugh, it's just like, shush. Why are we always crying and screaming and making dresses out of drapes? And
it's about the production design, I guess.
Did you like the movie?
I mean, it's a classic. I mean, it's not my favorite movie, but I don't have any. All right, I don't have any real negative opinion on it or anything like that.
I think I dropped
my keys.
What about Citizen Kane? I liked that one.
Citizen Kane's a great film.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, it's one of the films that you'll in film school you'll analyze to death.
Well, I liked it. Mm-hmm. And guess what? My new favorite movie is
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No, but that one's good.
Yeah,
you made me watch that over Christmas.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I made you watch it. I held a gun to your head. I said, you watch this film.
No, you just wanted to spend time with me then, so you wanted to watch a movie with me. That was when you liked me.
Let's not do this.
That was when you wanted to hug me. And
oh, my God.
My new favorite movie is Auntie Mame. It's fantastic. It's Rosalind Russell.
Oh, what is it?
Auntie Mame.
Auntie Mame.
If you get
what year
chance,
is this film?
1940-something.
Did you watch Double Indemnity?
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
okay,
a good film noir.
All
film
right.
Noir.
So, here's what I learned.
What?
Here's just a few things that I learned. Number one, how you have like a constructive conversation with someone that you're in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to learn it right now?
Is it like imago?
I don't know what that is.
Imago therapy?
Why are you always trying to throw big words at me?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't sure I was going to.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, it's called the H method. So sit, put your feet on the ground.
The hit you across the face method?
No.
H method?
I'll punch H you method. In the face.
No, I'm saying you're going to hit me across the face.
Just
H
kick
method.
You in the shin.
Good.
Okay. So basically, you shouldn't go into a conversation that you know could maybe be like heated or something
right.
without kind of centering yourself and getting grounded. And one of the things is making sure like, you're grounded in the sense of like your feet are planted on the floor, you're breathing,
mm-hmm.
you're listening to the person, you're not like taking the bait. So let's say, for example, we can improvise one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we were dating and I was, I don't know, on vacation and we were like FaceTiming or something.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get a hold of you or you couldn't get a hold of me. So you'd be the irritable one. And I will practice this method. Because if you don't do the H method, then you could end up doing something called like V. So basically the H method is where I'm stable, you're stable, mm-hmm. and you basically shouldn't have a conversation unless you're meeting in the middle.
Okay.
So it's like one pole, one pole, it's an H.
Oh.
And that's how you have a proper conversation.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to improvise.
Oh boy.
Are you a good enough actor?
Are you serious?
Well, I don't
are
know.
Are you seriously asking me if I'm a good enough actor? You know the answer to
I think you're kind of
this.
Good.
Okay, go ahead.
You're a very good singer.
Yeah.
And rapper.
I can rap.
Okay. All right. So you're going to be irritable with me.
Oh, God damn it.
What, Jesus?
I don't know.
That was horrible. What are you? Jesus, what are you, an old woman? What are you, one of the Golden Girls?
Yes.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, wow. You're not a good actor.
Sophia, I'm a terrible actor. I don't act.
Oh, holy shit. Okay. All right. I'm going to FaceTime you.
So what am I doing? I'm
you're
getting
just irritated. You're going to be like...
I can't just get pissed off.
Okay, remember when you were irritating me when I went to Vegas and I was like, I'm going with or without you. And you were like, you thought it was very confusing and rude.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't that irritated. I mean, I
know, but I'm just trying to give you a...
Trying
like,
to get me
some direction.
Trying to get me like riled up and angry.
Yeah.
Think about what makes me pissed off.
Yeah, think about something that makes you pissed off.
All right.
I'm just going to poke you.
Stop kicking me. Stop it.
Okay, well, that's different. Okay, this is terrible.
What do you want me to say? Just tell me what you want me to say. I mean, what is the?
Just think of a situation where you'd be irritated with me, and I'm sure there's many.
Rachel, you're eating fucking Mexican food for breakfast.
Yeah,
that's disgusting.
Well, that's what I wanted to eat.
It's gross.
Well, I don't. You're not the one eating it, but I appreciate your that you care about me.
You are going to get sick.
Maybe, but that's. I guess you know what. I'm going to take your advice. I should probably not eat Mexican food for breakfast. So it sounds condescending, but it's like, imagine if I took the bait right away and I was just like, oh God, you're so controlling. Like, what does it matter? Like, why do you care?
Right, right, right.
And then that would have been, you know how quickly that would have gone into a huge fight?
Okay.
And then that's where it's like, what is it? They said it's like, that's a V instead of an H.
Right.
Anyways, Maybe we'll do like an Instagram story where people can visually see it.
Me like putting my finger into your Mexican food breakfast, like get.
You would do
pushing
that.
It onto the
when
floor.
When you were first starting your diet in Greenville, you were horrible to eat around. You did because you had an opinion on everything everyone was eating. I was like, can I just have a piece of pizza?
I think I was just jealous. I was like, come on, don't eat that in front of me. I'm trying not to eat that shit.
You're doing a very good job.
Yeah.
You look skinny.
Intermittent fasting.
Whatever. I'm not into it.
But I didn't even finish like explaining it because like, you do like the 5-2, but then you could also do a thing where you just eat between the hours of 12 and 8.
12 p.m. and 8 p.m.?
And just eat all day. You just don't eat breakfast.
Sabrina and I tried to do a diet like that in high school. It was like, eat whatever you want, but just stop eating
and
by like
5
p.m. And
then you don't eat after 8 p.m.
I think we did it by 5 and we called it Eat Viciously, Live Well.
Eat Viciously, Live Well. It sounds like a great tour for
so
you guys.
So we would eat like, we'd go to like Fultano's Pizza for lunch, eat that and ranch, but as long, and then like ice cream, as long as we stopped eating at 5.
Yeah.
It didn't really work. I was a little puffy.
You would just continuously eat until 5.
Well, that's not the idea.
No, that's not the idea. I mean, you eat, but you obviously still have to eat healthy, but...
So you're not eating carbs at all?
But this is like, fasting goes back to like, way, way back to like, you know, ancient Greece, yeah. You know, like where the people would...
I like fasting sometimes.
And like, you know...
Do it on purpose, it's just I get busy.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not for everybody, but I'm trying it out. And I feel good.
Yeah. Well, you look good. I was also hypnotized at this place.
Whoa.
That was cool. So there was something called like rapid eye movement or something. They were kept using like acronyms for things. And I was like, what?
REM? Great band.
REM? Really sad though. Their songs are depressing.
Everybody hurts.
Yeah. Sabrina does that to like freak people out sometimes when she's just in the airport to like make people think she's depressed. Just like plays the song
and walks by them.
Yeah, no, just like stuff herself. I don't know. She's weird. I'm weird. I like that stuff. Except for we're into the rap game right now.
Yeah.
So I was hypnotized like for real.
Mm.
So he basically goes like he talks about, you know, he basically is like, well, what do you want to accomplish in here? And I'm like, well, I want to figure out, you know, why this happened or how I can better have like male-female relationships, like mm-hmm. Why those aren't working out, blah, 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 blah. And so he gets kind of in his head like what you kind of want.
Right.
And then it's crazy. He starts going like this, open your eyes, close your eyes, open your eyes, close your eyes, open your eyes. And you're like, okay. And then...
You open your eyes, he's completely naked in front of you. You're like, what the fuck?
No, wait, he was awesome. He's my friend. Actually, you would like him. I think I was going to suggest that you go to him. His name's Joey. He is from Brooklyn. He has a very similar upbringing to you.
Joey Bag of Donuts?
No.
Oh. What, Joey?
You'd like him.
Yeah.
Anyways. His story is fascinating. And the research that he's done on how if you want something, you have to just completely visualize it. Not like The Secret, not like that.
Mm-hmm.
He has this whole method and it really genuinely works. I started doing it for like 2 weeks when I was there. The minute I left, I got a phone call saying I had a pitch meeting with a production company that I had pitched a show to like a year ago. And they called my manager and said, what's Rachel up to? We want her to come back in.
And you were visualizing this?
Yeah. So basically what he did, he's an actor, but he was always like, he felt really out of place and very self-conscious because he grew up in a rough neighborhood in Brooklyn where he was like beat up and stuff and kind of like how you grew up. And, he just always felt really like bad about himself and like he didn't belong in certain situations.
Right.
And he would manifest that. And so one day he just decided that he'd had enough and he didn't want to live like that anymore. So he said for 3 months, he goes, I made it my job day and night to picture. He's like, I pictured people cheering for me. I pictured people shaking my hand, wanting me to be, you know, in the room, like, you know, reading a script before you. What is that called? Table read or whatever.
Table read, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I pictured people being like, great job. I pictured myself booking jobs. He goes, I would literally clap to myself and cheer myself on in my head. And sometimes I would just walk around and clap for myself. I've been doing that. And it has brought my self-confidence up so much. Remember how you told me like, if you're feeling bad sometimes, if you just smile, just the act of like turning your mouth up, it makes you.
Smiling and positive affirmations. It's good to like wake up in the morning and like, you know, talk yourself up. It's mm-hmm. hard to do that sometimes, but you know, wake up in the morning and talk about what you're grateful for, and you know that you, you know, you tell yourself that you are healthy, that you have things coming to you, that that wealth flows to you and through you, or whatever you mm-hmm. want to say. And you know, those things, it just changes. It just changes your. It just changes. You know, your the way you think.
And I don't think it's like a selfish or narcissistic way to live. I mean, no. Either you can live miserably thinking you don't deserve anything, right. or you might as well.
We're all infinitely creative. Everybody, yeah. everybody out there has talents that they can. It's just what blocks you have to find those talents. Mm-hmm. And I went to a couple of things, did a couple of things, and they have this thing called charging, where you and someone else can kind of sit there with each other, and you. And you basically envision your life a year from now, uh-huh. and you start to tell somebody, hey, this is what I'm doing now, and this is where I want to be a year from now. And you start to tell them all these things that you're going to be doing, and you think mm-hmm. about the most positive things. Like say you're writing a script, and you could be like, hey, in a year from now, I'm going to be selling the script, or I'm going to be watching this on something, or whatever I'm going to be doing with it. And so you just keep doing that. And then what they do is they take that information and they turn around and then they start to what's called charging you. And then mm-hmm. they just start telling you where they're going to see you in your future mm-hmm. and you know, all this stuff. And it really kind of, you feel,
even if these things don't come true
in the moments, you feel great about it and you feel more productive.
Well, you
and
have to be open
continuously
to,
can make you more productive and you yeah. get to those points that you want to be at.
Yeah. His is kind of the same thing. But do you want me to read the actual steps? Because I wrote them down.
Yeah.
He made a whole printout that he typed up for me, but I don't have that with me right now. Okay. So basically, just decide what it is that you want in your life. Let's say, you know, for my listeners, let's say your goal is to get married and have a kid, for example. Or let's say your goal is to start a blog or to start your own business. You basically... You put your awareness on that as if it's almost already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you pretend to have the positive experience. You actually, like, you try it on for size and you believe that it's your reality. And so, also, I'm going to read this. So, yeah, you make yourself familiar with the experience so that your brain can rewire and reprogram to believe it and mm-hmm. that you deserve and want to experience that. Right. And then you constantly hold that image of what you want in front of you, and your body will eventually catch up. It will be like, oh, this right. is, you know.
You recondition yourself to think, hey, I'm deserving of mm-hmm. of everything I put my energy into.
Yep.
So if you put your energy into hating something, obviously mm-hmm. you're going to come back with that. If
you basically have to fall in love with what it is that you want to
about
do.
Yourself and about the things you're mm-hmm. doing, it's going to come back to you.
Yeah. Like I've fell in love with comedy and acting and all that a long time ago. So I've never given up. I've never thought right. like this is not possible. I'm like really on 10 with it, with this whole right. thing that he taught me.
And also I think that when you're doing this, you have to, there's usually the end goal is never the thing. The end goal is to ultimately be happy with what you're doing. So, mm-hmm. and you know,
and the hard work that it will take to get there won't be miserable because you know that the,
right.
you know that there's, you know, gold bars at the end of the road.
But that's what's great is like experience is typically what makes people the happiest, mm-hmm. like traveling
totally.
or like following your dreams or working on something.
Well, this is what he said. He said, you must see it, smell it, touch it, and feel it. Like right. you have to like all the senses. You have to like really make that a part of you.
Right. That's why like typically the goal is not to attain things. It's mm-hmm. not to attain material. It's to actually to experience these things. And mm-hmm. that's what, because a material object eventually just kind of you lose interest in it after a while. You know, you just, it doesn't ultimately have a long term.
Couldn't agree more. I've been saying that.
It doesn't give you happiness in the long term. Mm-hmm. But in the long term, your happiness will always come from the experiences that you do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then another thing he says is you have to accept that you're not that person right now and that you're going to have to do some work to get there, but you have to be willing to do everything, network, meet the people you need to meet, or to put yourself out there, because with anything, that can be with any goal that you have. That could right. be even with like dating or whatever. Let me just think if there's anything else I need to tell you about this. This is really cool. He said, so there's a contrast between what you want and what is. And so you have to create the energy to push through like the resistance. And he's like, you have to know that there will be resistance. And then he gave this analogy about sprouts. Mm-hmm. So I think he was sick at a certain point and he was growing all of his own food to like be, I don't know, healthier. Mm-hmm. Sprouts will only grow if they have pressure on them. They won't just grow. He said, I had to put 50-pound weights on top of them because they will only grow through things.
Right.
And that I thought it was a really cool analogy. It's like you just have to picture yourself breaking through that resistance.
Right.
We're just little sprouts.
We're little sprouts.
Yeah. Yeah, pressure is a good thing. And you'll work hard if you love what you're doing.
Yeah, I think pressure keeps you, you know, if something's easy, I mean, you're not going to find any sort of, you know, you're gonna lose motivation, I think. You know, you have, mm-hmm. pressure is what is going to motivate you, you know. The pressure to, you know, good example is if I have a project I'm working on and, you know, if I have a client that's sort of like is lackadaisical about when they want something done or if they want it done at all, I could easily just back burner it, you know. Mm-hmm. But if they're giving me like a deadline and they're on me about something, that pressure is going to make me work harder and get that done more, you know, as efficiently as possible. So mm-hmm. obviously, yeah, any sort of resistance is going to make you work harder.
He said, "Is you got to push through." Okay,
yeah, just say something like that.
Yeah, and I think that comes with like everything requires work, even relationships, even mm-hmm. relationships with your friends, relationships with your parents, relationships with your mm-hmm. significant other, and that was something that we talked about extensively. Am I flashing you right now? Talked about extensively. When we were dating and or before, even because you were the one that introduced me to this stuff. I used to be kind of obnoxious where I was like, I don't really, meditation's stupid. And like, all you do is talk about feelings, Christian. And like,
yeah, I mean, it's annoying on my front too. I mean, but it's something that I, you know, I think around, you know, when I turned about 35 years old,
Christian's and 100. I was,
yeah, 107. I was like, you know, I was going to therapy. I started going to therapy. I injured myself. I injured my neck. You know, it just, this is what kind of steamrolled everything. I had got a herniated disc and a surfing thing or whatever the hell I did. And, you know, I started going to therapy for some, you know, I was depressed about it because they were like, you can't surf anymore. You can't do this. You can't do that. But I thought I was going to get surgery and stuff like that. I worked through it. But through that, I started going to therapy just to kind of like cover that stuff. And then I started to learn more about myself, my social anxieties. And this therapist sort of through what cognitive behavioral therapy introduced me to attachment theory mm-hmm. and told me to read this book called Attached because I was having a lot of interpersonal relationship problems with, you know, just with my girlfriend at the time. You know, I was realizing that we were very, you know, I didn't even know what real codependence was. Mm-hmm. And people pleasing and that kind of stuff. And I was definitely kind of started to open up to more of this and sort of like become a lot more vulnerable with it with people at that time. And like, you know, in a relationship, I would do a lot of like blame shifting and all these things that, you know, I wouldn't see my side of it. Mm-hmm. And when I could see my side of it, it makes things a lot clearer. You know, you say, okay, this is, you know, this stems from my childhood. You know, your attachment style stems from your childhood. So basically when you're born, you attach to your parent, and the way your parent is sort of like what you take on. So there's typically four types of that. There's secure attachment, there's avoidant, there's ambivalent, and there's preoccupied, disorganized, or whatever that is. And those four different things, I mean, most people are secure, but, you know, you can tend to kind of, you know, alternate between certain things. Like you can be avoidant in a relationship and then something can make you anxious and trigger that fear, and then you pull that thing back in and you can continue on those paths. And I've been working a lot through that, but I realize if I'm, you know, I realize that like I still have work to do, you know. I know I do. I mean, I can sense it when I'm even, you know, when we're in a relationship, I can sense those things coming on. I'm just glad that I recognize it now, because mm-hmm. if I didn't recognize it, it makes it so much worse. You know, yeah. It's like if you don't recognize, that's why I definitely, if people have, you know, problems in relationships and stuff like that, you should always look at that too and mm-hmm. see like, hey, what's my role in this relationship? What am I doing mm-hmm. on my end to, because, you know, that's all we can control. We can't control anybody else. We can only control how we react and what we do in the relationship. So that's what I try to do. And
it's, I'm going to read something I wrote down from where I went in Malibu. I wrote this down. I said, it's my job to change myself and observe people, places, and things with empathy.
Right.
Like, but you can't change people. The only person you can change is yourself and work on is yourself.
Right.
And I actually like that thought, because at least you have that. You know?
Well, that's the ultimate thing you can be in control of, is, you know, I mean, you don't want to. I mean, if you're trying
to control, if you're, yeah, if to you're change people, right. or things or places,
if
it's
you're,
like,
and if you're trying to control other people, you're never going to be happy. You know, you're never going to be happy if you're trying to control outcomes of things that you obviously will never have control of. You know, so if you're running around doing that, you're ultimately going to be miserable all the time. You know, it's like, you know, it's not even people. It's just everything around you. There's an ebb and flow to life and everything that's happening, and you have to be able to ride those waves and be able to deal with them. And if you can't deal with them,
and it's so nice to accept that, because I think I used to maybe take on other people's problems more than I should have, and just learning, like, it's almost better for people if you just kind of let them go with the ebbs and flows of, like, their life, like, live and let live, and, like, they'll.
Well, we're both kind of empath, so I mean, I think, you know, I don't know what levels of empathy I would have more than you do, but I know the feeling of wanting to, and that comes into people pleasing. It's sort of like you take on someone else's pain and you're like, I want to help this person so badly. Mm-hmm. And in a relationship, that can be bad, because, you know, like on the male side, it's like this knight in shining armor thing, like, I'm going to save her, I'm going to rescue her. Mm-hmm. And you start to call in people that aren't good for you, because they're, you know, they haven't figured their stuff out, so you're trying to help them figure their stuff out for them.
I attracted but that then, with guys I dated too.
Right, and then you're disregarding your own issues, and you start to say, and then, you know, really, who are you helping? You're not really helping anybody. You know, you're only enabling somebody else to continue to do what they're doing, and you're not even helping yourself in those ways. So I think
do you want to know something really cool that I'm looking through the notebook that I wrote. This is a fact. Your conscious mind, right, can process 50, only 50 bits per second. It's like what your mind is.
Yeah.
Guess what your unconscious mind, all that shit, your childhood, your whatever, guess how many?
500,000.
50 million bits per second. So your unconscious is operating at 50 million. You're only thinking about 50 conscious things, or your brain's only processing that. That is, what is the percentage? It's like, that's why it's ridiculous to think that you can control people and things or whatever, because you're unconscious, and your past and everything is constantly sort of just like festering underneath you. And you have to just sort of, I mean, I think learn to like breathe. And
that's what's great about meditation, actually, is that you're tapping into your subconscious mind, and you start to realize where a lot of the pain, that even physical pain that you have in your body, you can actually attribute to something in your subconscious mind. Like,
I think that having, even though I don't feel my hand all the time, I mean, sometimes it, like, there's a lot of times it doesn't even hurt, but I think just not having the full use of a hand, and it's kind of just like, almost like, it's like a dead hand. It's like I have like weird phantom pain and I can't move it. It's, even if I'm not thinking about it, it's definitely a part of me all the time. I mean, trying to like cut an apple is a treacherous thing, for example, or driving hurts like hell because I can't grip a steering wheel for very long, and it's it doesn't really bother me, but obviously, yes, I'm sure subconsciously I'm like, well, I'm kind of a little bit of a handicap situation now.
Oh, sure. I mean any sort of injury that you get, or, you know, any sort of damage to your body, or, you know, that you're basically packing, you try to, and whenever we say like, hey, I'm just going to get past this, that's basically what you're doing, is you're getting past it. You're dealing with it.
But you have to acknowledge it. And like, you can't just keep burying stuff and pushing it under the rug.
I mean, a lot of times people will do that though. And you know, there's this whole idea of like this, like deep down inside of you, like, what are these things? And sometimes there's some really beautiful things in there that you want to unleash. And there's, you know, a lot of power there that you want to unleash, but there are other things that are blocking that power, you know, like I said before, like the creativity and all
these
things that you have.
That's why you got to face it head on. I mean, I feel bad that I used to tell you, like, when you would tell me, like, that you were struggling with something or whatever, I'd just be like, suck it up. I'm like, that is the worst advice you can give
someone.
Well,
I mean,
like, you're allowed to, like, but you're allowed to be like, all right, that sucked that happened. You know, I need to move on, but you don't change by like skipping through the fields of joy all the time and like, well, yeah, and also
there's this whole idea about, you know, being a man, and you're taught, you know, and I find that, you know, teaching young boys this whole idea of like, toughen up, man, and you know, like watching a kid get hit with a, you know, an 80 mile per hour fastball and like, you know, in Little League, and and they're, you know, this is what, you know, I was taught when I was younger, like walk it off, tough it up, you know, you're holding back tears, you're in pain, and the whole idea is to like, you know, the whole idea is to teach vulnerability. The more vulnerable you are in life, the more empathy you'll have towards people and their
pain. And that's what makes if you're good business people, good right. actors, good parents,
or you can become a sociopath. Yeah. But you know, like, but you know,
what do you mean?
I'm saying, you know, if you're stuffing everything and you're told to that you have to man up and be strong and, you know, all this stuff, you know, and then a lot of that, you know, ends up being, you know, boys are told that, they're taught that like you can't show pain, you can't show fear, you mm-hmm. can't show these things, mm-hmm. and if you do, then you're weak, mm-hmm. and that doesn't mean that doesn't correlate to weakness, because yeah. the strongest thing you can do is to be vulnerable about something and mm-hmm. to tell somebody how you're feeling and to let them know, hey, this is, you know, this is how I feel about this situation, or hey, I'm in pain, hey, this is what's happening. We all have moments of pain and suffering, mm-hmm. and we can't make pretend that those don't exist. So
I mean, I think it's good that people are talking about it now. I mean, so sad. My Anthony Bourdain was truly like my hero, and right. You know, it's amazing that you think someone like him who has it all, or you people think he has it all, was in so much right. pain.
I mean, I've read some people say things like that on, like, you know, Facebook, and I wrote this guy like, oh, fuck Anthony Bourdain, and, you know, about suicide, and, you know, his poor daughter. Yes, there's a layer of that that's horrible, but there's also a layer of, like, it doesn't matter how much shit we have, yeah. you know, like, having money and things doesn't...
No, but he had a wonderful career in terms of, like,
course,
he was...
Of course,
I mean, he opened the world up to... cultures and
of
you
course
know.
But there's a deep sadness in him that he obviously hadn't been able to deal with correctly, and mm-hmm. that doesn't change just because yeah. you have a great career, or you have you could have everything, I mean, but you have to get to the root of that, mm-hmm. and figure out, well, you know, why this is happening, and yeah. nothing is going to Band-aid that problem. There's, mm-hmm. you know, a nice car and a nice house and a big pile of money and an awesome career.
People get sick of that stuff so quickly.
But yeah, I mean, you'll see some of the
people. It makes people more depressed.
I mean, I've met people who have everything, and they seem more miserable than somebody I've met that has nothing, you know, because they're striving for stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the podcast now, because it's finally cooling down a little bit.
I'm going to get in the pool then.
Do you ever get in there?
yeah, I've gotten in that pool.
I want to get in the pool. It's
a couple times, but it's not that this... I don't know. I think in the next couple of weeks it's going to heat up nicely, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to be in there a lot.
Well, okay. I'm going to end on the where you're going to say your socials, and guys, if you need a website, hit this guy up. but I'm going to end this on this quote that RuPaul says, which I love. He says, "What other people think about me is none of my business."
Yes, and that's very true. I agree with that.
Because I really don't care what people think about me. There was a time where
Anthony
I was kind of getting
says
in my
that
head.
Too, I think. There's a lot of people who have that quote attributed to them. But I'm not arguing that. RuPaul, everybody. I mean, I think it's a great statement.
So, anyways, guys, if you to come to my shows, I try to update it as much as possible, or Lo does, at RachelO'BrienComedy.com, or just look on Instagram, which is Rachel, RachelO'Brien. And I'm going to start posting some videos on Cameo. So anything you guys want to know, but I get a lot of questions from y'all about which vitamins I'm taking for my thyroid. And I think if I just start making videos of these things, then that'll be easier. I won't have to answer just each and every question. Do you want to say your socials and everything, Christian?
Yeah, Instagram at Fuzzy Warbles. And
Code Exist.
.com is a website, and at Code Exist.
He's a brilliant web developer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
We got some really good clients this week, actually, so.
You're doing cool shit.
Cool stuff coming up.
I'm proud of you.
Can't wait to watch.
All right, thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Great to see you.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.